Welcome everybody to Inspiration in 10 for the week of Parshat Balak. Shabbos in South Surrey begins at 9:03. Inspiration in 10 is dedicated to Eloi Nishmat and in memory of my father, Harav Gershom ben Harav ben Sion. We share stories, articles, and Torah thoughts in his memory, and tonight is also dedicated in the merit of good health and a speedy recovery for Naomi Bas Bela Udis and Shoshana Bas Rivka Rachel. Recently, a friend of mine turned 60, and I mentioned to her that one of the differences between age 20, 40, and 60 is that at 20, we're all nervous. What's everybody thinking? How are they looking at me? At 40, you couldn't care less. I'll do whatever I want to do. It doesn't make a difference. But then at 60, we realized nobody was ever looking to begin with, and it was really all in my own head. Which reminded me of a poem that we used to recite in our home as the kids were growing up, because it was cute and because it carries a powerful lesson. It's called Be Yourself, and we don't know the writer, it's anonymous. Ever since I was a little kid, I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be Billy Whittleton, and Billy Whittleton didn't even like me. I walked like he walked, I talked like he talked, and I signed up for the same high school he signed up for, which was when Billy changed. He began to hang around Herbie Venderman. He walked like Herbie, he talked like Herbie. He mixed me all up. I began to walk like Billy Whittleton, walking and talking like Herbie Venderman. And then it dawned on me that Herbie Venderman walked and talked like Joey Haverlin. And Joey walked and talked like Corky Sabinson. So here I am, walking and talking like Billy Whittleton's imitation of Herbie Vanderman's version of Joey Haverlin, trying to walk and talk like Corky Sabinson. And who do you think Corky Sabinson is always walking and talking like? Of all people, Dopey Willington, the little pest who walks and talks like me. In biblical times, modesty and not looking to see what's brewing in another's pot played a pivotal role in thwarting Bilam's evil intent. Bilam was a non-Jewish prophet employed by Balak, king of Moab, to curse the Jewish people. Now, Bilam knew that a military attack would be futile. The Jews had a track record of supernatural and forceful victories in war. So Bilam tried to weaken them at their source by diminishing their spiritual connectivity. As a spiritual guru, he felt he had the skills needed to undermine their connection with God. Ironically, whenever Bilam opened his mouth to curse the Jewish people, outflowed the most magnificent blessings. Finally, after his second fruitless attempt to lash out words of destruction, he said something very telling. Telling since it exposed the reason for his inability to curse them. He said those famous words, "How goodly are your tents, O Yaakov, O your dwelling places, O Yisrael. Ma tovu ahalecha Yaakov, mishkanotecha Yisrael." The Medrash explains that Bilam was noting the modest way in which the tents were aligned. They were staggered so the windows of one tent had no visual access to the windows of the neighboring tent. At each of their stops over their 40-year trek, the people made sure to erect their tents in this modest arrangement. Apparently, it was this exceptionally sensitive quality that made it impossible for Bilam to harm them. Modesty means having healthy boundaries. Today, modesty is underrated. As Americans or Canadians, people are hooked on TV shows that dig into the most personal parts of people's lives and display them to millions of viewers. Conversely, many teens and adults are misled to believe that if they don't expose what is meant to be sacred and private, they're prudish. In fact, it's even cool to know what the president's intimate details of his life are. His wife has filled us all in on those details. People who are careful not to speak Lashon Hara, gossip, are merely expressing their appreciation for healthy boundaries. Who gave you permission to analyze another's life? You shouldn't be looking into their window. And if you're exposed to a private bit of information about your friend, be sensitive. Gossiping is violating the sacred space of another person. In fact, a beautiful interpretation of the Midrash that when Bilam was praising the Jewish people for their openings, in Hebrew we say, pitcheihem, not facing each other, it also is praise for the Jewish people's openings, their mouths. That's our opening. That they didn't oppose each other with their words. There was a salesman who was extremely successful. Another salesman who really wanted to know his secret decided to spy on him and to find out what was his trick. He found that with each prospective buyer, he had an opening line. Did you see what your neighbor has? Somehow, if the neighbor had it, I start feeling like, and what am I, that poor schnook who can't even afford it? Of course I'm going to get what he has or better. And so the salesman did fantastic. And that's why there are many that would agree that the 10th commandment, Lo Tachmod, you shall not covet, is one of the hardest commandments. And I know we've spoken about this when we've spoken about the 10th commandments, but it's worth repeating. The Torah tells us, do not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, his field, his servant, his ox, his donkey, or in our terms, maybe we'd say his summer home, his yacht, his BMW, his vacations, his children, his mother-in-law, his wife, his business successes. But then it adds one more line and it says, and all that belongs to your neighbor. It seems quite redundant to add, and everything that belongs to your neighbor, when we're so clearly enumerating everything that he has. If there's something that we might have forgotten, we'll say, and that. Why say, and everything that belongs to your neighbor? We know the Torah is so careful about every word. But the Torah is teaching us the trick and the wisdom in not desiring anything that belongs to our neighbor. If we realize that aside from all the exciting things that we can see about him or her, her cars, her homes, her toys, her vacations, her food budget, her cleaning help, her husband, her children, there's a package deal. There's the v'chol asher l'reicha. Everyone has their peckle. Everyone has their burden. Those are the things we don't necessarily see. The whole package. The demons, the difficult spouse, the heartache, the depression, the inner battles, perhaps the debt, and many other struggles. Everyone has a package. Everyone has a v'chol. And therefore, do not desire what is his. We reconfirm this lesson to ourselves every morning when we pray and we sing, Matovu Ahalecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, Jacob. Those famous words uttered by our enemy Bilam in this week's portion, good fences make good neighbors. We must respect that sacred private space, even and especially of those that we feel so close to. That kind of respect for boundaries is our protection. Remember, even when the Jews were in transit, they made sure to uphold this subtle expression of modesty as they assembled their tents. Preserving strong and healthy boundaries was high on their priority list. And then mirroring their efforts, God shielded them from harm with a protective barrier. And Bilam was unable to harm them. May we learn to respect each other enough, and may God shield us with his protective barrier. Matovu Ahalecha Yaakov, how good are your tents, Yaakov. I will now unmute.